welcome to Rhymes Against Humanity. We don't even have a theme song yet. And when I say we, I don't really even have a we yet. Well, that's not true. I got me and Queequeg. So it's me and Queequeg here in the podcast studio, which is really Jeremy's old room. The infestation is over, and we had a little bit of an infestation. And some might say that Jeremy was a little bit of an infestation, but I am not some. I am me. My name is Adam Brodsky, and I am welcoming you to Rhymes Against Humanity. It's a little boomy in this here room. I'm sure we're going to get all the foam and things that we need, but I wanted to get this done before I did get it undone. Basically, this is called Rhymes Against Humanity. We're going to be talking about some stuff. We're going to be interviewing songwriters about songwriting, because I am very passionate about songwriting. I have no songwriters to interview about songwriting right now, so that's the way that goes. But we're just getting started here, and so, you know, not many of you are going to listen to this one. When you become diehards and you go back and you want to hear it from the beginning, you'll get to hear this very, very first episode. And this will be like, this episode, by the way, is in black and white. The others will be in color, in Technicolor, maybe three strip even, but this one here is in black and white. So basically I saw today a movie, Happy Accidents. Today I just got done watching it about an hour ago, a movie called Happy Accidents that basically, it ended up in my Netflix queue because it was right in the old wheelhouse. What you had there was it's a quirky, small, romantic comedy that starred Marissa Tomei and involved time travel. So those things are all things I love. It had one thing I hate, and that is Vincent D'Onofrio, and I can't stand that guy. I want to punch him in his fat face whenever I see him, and I'm sure he's a perfectly delightful human being, but this is just how I feel about Vincent D'Onofrio. And so, but there was enough on the plus side that I said to myself, is it enough? Does that outweigh it hasn't got much spam in it. So I watched this movie, and in fact, pretty good, pretty darn good. I give Happy Accidents 3 or 4 stars. I would thoroughly recommend on a rainy day such as today. First of all, it has been raining here. It's July 1st and it has been raining here for if it's going to rain this much, the coffee should be better. We are living in a swamp, and the drag of that is that I have to go out every day. Last time it rained so much, I didn't have myself an adorable little puppy. But now me and Queequeg have to find a way outside every day. Otherwise, one of us is okay. One of us has permission to shit in the house because he knows how to use the toilet and flush and things like that. And one of us doesn't. So later this afternoon, Queequeg, we're going to have to find a place for you to shit out of doors. Speaking of that, I was doing some research on anti-folk and basically what has happened, because I ended up writing this song. I'm going to sing you a brand new spanking song, and that is hopefully what is going to happen in subsequent episodes of this show, is that people are going to sing to me some of their new songs, some of their old songs, and we're going to talk about songwriting. And I ended up writing this song, and this was really cool. Like, when you get to write a song like this, I honestly woke up with the chorus, with the refrain in my head. And it was like a song. I was having a dream that I was singing this old hit of mine to some people, and I woke up and I'm all groggy, and I'm like, wait, that's not an old hit. And so I went downstairs and strummed it on the guitar, and it came out just like it was in my head, the tune and everything. And then I spent a couple of hours in the morning scribbling it down, and ended up with a song, which actually I think is quite good, and it's sort of a nostalgic thing. What I've been doing for the past few years is I've been writing these songs. I haven't really stopped writing songs. I don't play so much anymore, but I've been writing these songs, and I'm trying to write. You make this switch to writing grown-up songs from, you know, I used to scream and yell and sing about bitches and whatnot, and that can get you only so far, and it just gets tiresome, and it gets kind of silly for a genuinely middle-aged human being to be singing that angry stuff. And I love my angry songs, and there's still a place for them, and I love to go back to them and visit, but that's just not how I would write anymore. So I've been writing some grown-up love songs. I wrote The Ballad of Roger Murtaugh, which opines about how I am too old for this shit and things like that. And These are all things that are under consideration for the new record. These are songs that will probably be on it. This one might even be on it, too, and I did not expect it. I thought this was one of those stepping stone songs that you have. You're just like, hey, you're flexing the muscle. You're showing that you can be clever, and it's not that big a deal. And then I started writing it, and it seems a little inside baseball, but it also ended up being really good. Now, I haven't actually even played this out. It's a Monday. I'm thinking about dropping down to an open mic in town somewhere tonight and play this in public to see if anybody gives a rat's ass about it. But I am going to... Why not? I'll do it. I'll sing it right now. It's called The King of Antifolk. Or maybe it's called Never Sleep... You Will Not Sleep Alone, or You'll Never Sleep Alone. You know, it doesn't really have a fucking name, so get off my back about it. And speaking of antifolk, I'm glad you brought that up. I've been doing some reconnecting all morning. I've been, because I'm looking through my address book for this palette of songwriters that I know, and they're a good and lovely bunch, and I want to catch up with a bunch of them. And there are some people whose songwriting I really, really respect, and I'd really like to talk more about how they do what they do. And so I will be in the future interviewing a lot of my past confederates and accomplices and heroes and whatnot, and. But for now, it's just me and Queequeg. And what do you got to say, Q? Anything? Yeah, Q's pretty quiet. So we are going to discuss The King of Antifolk, and it goes a little something like this. This is my brand new song. For years you've practiced strumming, frailing, flailing in the night. In your bedroom, then on stages, till at last you got it right. Crafting fingers to a razor's edge, you tirelessly hone. So when you're the king of antifolk, you will not sleep alone. To New York City on a Monday night, 100-mile trek. To your roommate splits the gas and tolls, guitars and harps you schlep. In the back room of the sidewalk is the mecca they call Fort. And for 5 hours you will wait for your two songs where you'll hold court. Well, you play that strummy funny one, always goes over big. And then your new political, and then you'll plug your gig. Take a pot shot at West Village folk, the safety of their song. The evidence that yours are righteous is the posit theirs are wrong. On the ride home in the Honda, you'll rehash your mini set. You'll praise your peers' performance, swearing that good you'll get as Brenda Khan and Roger Manning, the Joan and Bobby of your scene. Your mind thumbs through the girls that played that night to pick your queen. Well, there was no coronation, no scepter and no orb. Just the quiet abdication of the ones who came before. Laying down and getting day jobs, gone to grad school, having kids. All the capitulations years ago your classmates did. So now you're the one who's turned to when they play the open mic. All the wide-eyed skinny strummers that you once was so much like. They anti-hoot and holler, you're their king upon your throne. You've not the heart to tell them that you usually sleep alone. Where there was no coronation in your car in Oklahoma, on a floor in Wichita, on a cot in wet Seattle, in the lot outside the mall, at a hotel in Missouri, where the prostitutes next door share with you their morning coffee at a 4:15. They would offer up and I, whoops, were you to even tell them of the weary row you hoe? They would offer up an eye tooth for the chance to even go. And for the dismal dental dealing you yourself would once have made. And were your father not a dentist, that's how out it would have played. And One day you will wake up with a creaking in your neck. That first twinge 3,000 miles ago in Utah at soundcheck. It's not so much a pinched nerve as a head that's turning home. Looking yonder to a time when you will not sleep all alone. A time of relaxation, a time with money for the rent. A time when harsh rejection's not how half your day is spent. A time that finds you home enough to finally get a dog. A time when you can even eat one rung up on the hog. But you're the king of anti-folk and Latch would still agree. Even though it was bestowed upon you most informally. Molotov and Mucka Ferguson, Major Mason too, evaporate into the ether, leaving only you. But ephemerally temporal, all this glory and renown, like a secretary general, heavy head holds up the crown. You can scream it in a mic, or you can tweet it from your phone. It's the former kings of any folk who never sleep alone. Yeah, you can scream it in a mic, or you can tweet it from your phone. It's the former kings of anti-folk that never sleep alone. So that's the that's what I wrote last week, or maybe the week before already. It's like I said, it may or may not have a name. The thing about this song, the solo is actually not supposed to be a harmonica solo. I was gonna go with that Mother Maybell rhythm picking, melody picking on the low strings, but I pushed out in front of you guys because I'm not really awesome at that. Anyway, there a couple of people that I did play it for called it into question for my hubris, which, yeah, you know, hubris, whatever. So, but the king of antifolk was a real thing. Like, Latch would declare the king or the queen of antifolk, and you would be king or queen for, I believe it was a season, because there was a summer, winter, and a fall, and a spring antifolk festival. And at those, he would declare a king. And it was somewhat arbitrary, you know, as like Latch were to do. And you were the king. And it came with all the rights and privileges, meaning that you, with a token, you could ride a bus, pretty much. So I wrote this song, and I mentioned I dropped a few names, and I was looking up as I was reconnecting with people. I was looking up Latch and wondering what happened. I just thought, and I found out that Latch, and this is old news to everybody already, but I think it was in 2011. I found out from the interwebs that Latch has moved to Scotland. Latch is an expatriate. Latch, who is as New York as Lou Reed, has moved to Edinburgh, where he is now running the Edinburgh anti-folk scene, and he's got cool things going with he runs an anti-folk fest, the Fringe Festival, and it looks like he has an anti-hoot that is a radio show that he has on Monday nights, and hopefully later on in this podcast with people we will swap anti-folk and anti-hoot war stories. I gotta tell you, it was so exciting driving all the way up to New York that very first time we went, actually. Butch and I and we drove all the way up there, and we were too scared to play. Like, I think we were just going to suss it out. I don't think we even brought our guitars. And we just went to see, and we were blown the fuck away by absolutely everyone. Like, everybody that came up there was such an incredible talent, and it was one of those things where we went home and been like, and thought, damn, we have a lot of work to do. There are just that many talented motherfuckers just, like, drifting by on a Monday for an open mic, and we thought we were hot shit. So, but I'll get into more hoot stories later. That's about all I want to say. We got the first one out of the way. I hope that you'll subscribe to Rhymes Against Humanity. And like I said, most of you probably won't even hear this because I'm just figuring out how this bitch is done. So, from Queequeg and me, I'll start working on a theme song. We're gonna need a real theme song to give us everything like that. So I am. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening, and tune in next time when my guest will be, hopefully, somebody. So, I guess I'll play us out.